More Heart Than Talent Radio.
IVE Live. Jeffrey Combs, president and founder, Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated, in the Golden Mastermind Studios here on a beautiful October 1st, 2019. More Heart Than Talent. Now, More Heart Than Talent, the origination of this call goes all the way back to the fall of 1998. Marina Joy, good to see you on today's Facebook Live. So I originally launched this as an afternoon call and then eventually moved it to 10:30 Eastern Standard Time. About 1999, I moved it into the evening. And from 1999 to 2018, this was a 10:30 Eastern Standard call, originally an hour, then eventually dropped back to one half hour. Ray Cataline, good to see you on today's Facebook Live. Dropped it back to a half hour and then moved it to a Facebook Live last year, which is where we are today. Now, I am in the GMS Studios. Have a great Facebook Live for you. I am breaking the habit of saying have a great call for you. I'm looking to see who is on the Facebook Live today. Joe Frith, good to see you. Eric Picard, Matt Smith, Maria Engen-Kane, good to see you. Jared, good to see you. Tracy Calvert. So what I have for content today is releasing procrastination tendencies. Back in 2009, I started writing the book From Procrastination to Production. Now that book was, I shopped that book around and didn't get a lot of interest on it originally. It started to sell and really started to tip. And by 2011, I went and got an agent and I sold the rights to that book, From Procrastination to Production. You can buy it on my website, the original version of that book, From Procrastination to Production. And I sold the rights of that to Career Press, and Career Press gave me a little signing bonus, and that book actually had a shelf life around the world. It actually published in 4 different countries and sold in China, sold in Brazil of all places, Brazil, and sold in a couple other countries. So it's in 4 different languages, and then it was changed. The title was called The Procrastination Cure. So I have a lot of history on really assisting people to understand what procrastination is. I also ended up on a Oxygen television program in Deerfield Beach, which is Boca Raton, Florida, for a 6-minute cut on procrastination. They contacted me. I went down there in 2012. And did a tape show, and then it aired nationally. So I have a lot of, Mary Lou Henner also had me in one of her radio shows that was from Taxi on procrastination. So I have a lot of history on what procrastination is and what it isn't. And if you procrastinate, what it means in context is that you avoid. Now, one of the main places that people avoid is they avoid perceived pain. And so if something's going to be painful, there's a high probability that you'll avoid it, and then you'll create a story around it. And if you want to be a recovering procrastinator, then today's content will assist you to have a better understanding of the cause that creates the effect of why you do what you do. Jennifer Spar is on the line today. Jennifer, great to see you. Stersha, great to see you. Now, be as candid as you can. Now, how many of you have procrastination tendencies? Then how many of you are actually chronic procrastinators? Now, that's for you to evaluate and you to really be in rigorous honesty and sobriety. You understand this will show up in, can you get your car in your garage? Do you have a lot of stuff? Do you hold on to a lot of situations? And then there's relationships. How many are in a relationship or a job or a family that you know you want out of, but you can't get out of it because of the story you tell yourself? You say, well, I don't have the money, I don't want to upset someone, well, the timing isn't right, I don't want to upset my family, I want to stay in this relationship because of the kids, I want to stay in this job because I'm retired in 3 years. I mean, this is the language of procrastination. The procrastination language creates excuses. Now, an excuse is typically a way to avoid the eventual situation. And you'll see that many people live this way. How many of you grew up with hoarders, procrastinators? How many grew up with overwhelmed parents? How many grew up with addicts? I mean, this is typically what tells the story of procrastination. Procrastination in Latin means procrastinari. It means to avoid. I'm going to take a look at the guidelines that I have for today's Facebook Live. So if you following along on the flow chart of this, I send out an email, and then I also put this on Facebook. the key points of procrastination, understanding why you procrastinate. There's a cause and effect. Then there's perfectionism or procrastination. Then there's a perceived pain of procrastination. Then there's living in overwhelm. Then five is becoming conscious of the way you communicate. Now, this is where the breakthrough starts. You become conscious of the way you avoid. Now, in letting go, what that means is that I am honest with self, and so it means that I am in acceptance. I can accept that I'm a procrastinator, and I begin to address the cause that creates the effect, and I begin to live in recovery of this horrific epidemic that affects so many people. Now, procrastination is typically driven by guilt and being overwhelmed. These are the emotions that drive this tendency that many people have. So what procrastination is, acute avoidance of situations that you know you should do that you chronically avoid. And then clutter piles up, you're overwhelmed, your desk is a disaster, get behind on taxes, any multitude of situations, you fall behind and live in an overwhelmed state. And I perform my best when my back's against the wall. That's not, and I'm cramming for the test. These are procrastination tendencies that we hold on to. So I'm looking at some of the comments today. Kevin Clinton, I used to be a centerfold man of procrastination monthly. Kevin, that's awesome. Kevin is an exceptional client of mine from Florida, and he is in recovery of procrastination. So how many of you are in recovery of procrastination? It's like this year, you've had a quantum leap in it, which is going to be a topic for one of my Facebook Lives, a quantum leap where 2 plus 2 equals 14. Now, here's a situation. Anyone can clean up their desk. Anyone can clean up their garage. Anyone can clean up their house. However, being able to be in recovery of procrastination, it's a be and stay state. You're being and staying in the recovery of being overwhelmed and procrastinating. It looked like a bomb went off. That's another term that for, oh my God. So I will ask clients, were you always this overwhelmed? Did this come with children? How did this happen to you? I mean, what is the cause that creates the effect of procrastination? Now, the recovery of procrastination is to live a much more methodical, systemized, detailed, organized life without feeling like you have to rebel against it. Procrastination is two situations. It's rebelling, number one, and overwhelm, number two. Now, somewhere in between these two places is what we tend to do. Now, I've had clients who, they buy things and they can't throw them away. They hold on to them. My house right across the street, right over there, last summer I took a picture on 4th of July, a $130,000 Porsche sets outside of this car, of this garage. And when the door goes up, you can't get in the garage because it has so much stuff in it. And so every single day in California sunshine, these two cars sit outside of the garage because they can't get parked because of the stuff. Now, that is a very commonality. How many of you grew up in a household where the garage became a storage unit? How many of you had parents, or how many of you do this? You have so much stuff that you have a storage unit, and that storage unit is costing you $350, $500, $750 a month. I once coached a client who had two storage units, and the storage units were $600 a month for each one, and that is $1,200 a month. And they had had these storage units for 10 years, and I factored it. It was staggering with these storage units holding on to stuff. Now, when I had the woman go to the storage units and break them down, she took pictures and showed me what was in those storage units. Now, unfortunately, now this was great because she moved into recovery and she accepted that she put a lot of money into the holding on to these things, and she eventually let it go. How many of you hold on to things with intentions that you're going to sell it one day? I'm going to sell it one day. I'm going to put it on eBay. No, dude, just fucking throw it away. I mean, let go of it. Give it away. Put it out on the street. Now, in my city, I can walk right out there on my street, and I can put something at my street, and very shortly, someone will come pick it up. Do that. Do whatever you have to do, let go of the clutter that's physical and the clutter that is emotional. Begin this process of acceptance, forgiveness, surrender, gratitude, and then the action. Letting go is separating your feelings from the events that shape them. What story do you hold on to that keeps you avoiding? Today alone, I coach two exceptional people who they want to be health coaches, but they're not quite ready. Now, they're certified quality people too, and both of them have great content. I mean, a lot more content than me about health. I mean, I'm very skilled at health, but these people are really, really good at it, but they're not good enough. They have to get more education. They have to have more of this. How many of you tend to do this? You wait for another certification. You have to get your website. You have to do all these things, and you keep ready to get ready to get ready. Now, what's underneath it? Well, there's fear of success and fear of failure, but they're both the same situation. There's an anxiety about being responsible that many people avoid. I'm not sure if I can control tomorrow, but what I can definitely do is I can control being disappointed today. Now, when you are ready to let go and separate your feelings from the events that shape them, then that's where the mechanism of letting go begins to start. What many people do is they avoid selling. They avoid the selling process because of the anxiety about being rejected. Let me look. It's at 105 today. Already four people have told me they're not in a position to hire me today. On an average day, I average about 8 to 9 people that pass on hiring me. That's every day of my life. Now, what that means is no one's rejecting me. The people that don't hire me, they have a reason not to hire me, and I'm not responsible for what the reason is. I'll communicate with them in a conversation. I'll listen to what they have to say. I'll determine if they're a qualified buyer or if there's someone worth following up with, and then I'll diplomatically exit that conversation, exit the communication. I will determine if or when I will follow up with someone, because some people merit and other people don't. And then when you begin to understand this, what do I ask? What do I say? What am I supposed to do if you just tell me how I have? There's an eight CD set called Psychology of Prospecting, a 10 CD set called Psychology of Closing, and a 10 CD set called Psychology of Asking. They're all in download on my website. There's a total of 28 CD sets. And if you're a coaching client, you have all these free. They come with your coaching. So there's 28 individual CDs specifically on closing, asking, and prospecting. And I go through in minute detail, the structured approach to having a conversation. And this is what many people avoid. They avoid building a business because they're not certain if they can build it. But they'll trade time for dollars for someone else for $50, $60, $70, $80, $100,000. Yet their very business that will set them free, they avoid it. Why? Because first of all, you're not conditioned to own a business. The educational platform and system does not assist you in being able to own a business. The educational platform and system keeps you in a job, and that job will keep you financially and emotionally challenged in anxiety, which perhaps will lead you to the pharmacies of the world. Now, when the pain is great enough, perhaps you will let go. But instead of waiting until the pain is great enough, what about today? What about committing today? What about deciding today? Are you willing and ready to separate your feelings and events and move into the let go state? Now, I'm going to go back to number 6, decide and commit to be productive. Number 7 is releasing shoulding, have to, and needing to. These are all terms of avoidance. I should, I have to, and I need to. These are avoidance words that lead to avoidance tendencies. Number 9 or number 8, moving into the higher level of consciousness, producing results. Number 9 is dedicated blocks of time, which is a definite if you are going to let go of your avoidance tendencies. And number 10, becoming accountable for yourself. Now, in my procrastination, my book, From Procrastination to Production, I have 6 procrastination types. And in the remade version of that book, The Procrastination Cure, I also break down procrastination types. Now, if you read that book, it breaks down the neurotic perfectionist. It breaks down the big deal chaser. It breaks down the codependent, neurotic, or procrastinator. I break down 6 different procrastination types, and you can see and identify which one is yours. But all of them really mean this. It means that if you're procrastinating, you're avoiding. And if you're avoiding, your body creates a neurochemical high. So many people can spend their whole day getting ready to get ready. They get all their ducks in line, they get everything cleaned up, they get it lined up, they throw things away, they're getting ready for tomorrow, and then all of a sudden tomorrow is Wednesday, and they're not ready, then it's Thursday, it's Friday, now I'm going to wait till Monday. This is a very commonality. This is called good intention, poor delivery. Now, why do people do this? to avoid the perceived pain of failing or the perceived pain of succeeding. However you use the term, it's the same situation. It means that you're avoiding the eventual outcome because you're not sure if you can control the outcome. What is the answer? What is the remedy? And how do I? Well, this is a let go process. First of all, it's your word choices. You start to monitor the way you communicate and you become a lot more commitment conscious. But if you're commitment phobic, your communication style will dictate that by saying need to, should to, want to, I ought to, I'm going to. It means you future tense it. But when now is now, when you begin to live in the now and you start to commit and decide. Now, once again, it's 1:13 for me on a beautiful Tuesday afternoon. I'm right in the middle of my day. I have a day of production. My day of production will end at 9 p.m. this evening. I have a few prospecting calls in between. I have coaching clients, and I have other tasks and duties to support my enterprise. It means I have a schedule, a routine, and most importantly, dedicated blocks of time. Procrastinators wing it. They tend to not have a schedule, not have a system, not have a routine, and they rebel against themselves, thinking that someday, mythically, magically, the whole situation is going to change. The White Knight's going to ride in. The Lone Ranger's going to ride in. Kemosabe, Tonto, whoever you think it is, it ain't going to happen, Chief, because what you require to do is to address procrastination as the addiction that it is. Procrastination is acute avoidance tendencies driven by rebelling and driven by being overwhelmed. The emotions that drive rebelling are anger, and the emotions that drive avoiding are rejection and abandonment. And if you can't find someone to criticize you or abandon you or reject you, you will tend to criticize self. Now, when you start to become honest, real, objective, you view the situation in a term called metacognition. It means you can observe the observation. You can see what's going on from a detached state. It means you can see yourself being who you are, doing what you're doing without being critical. That would be recovery. And that's how you move into recovery. You can see what you do. And then the story that you tell yourself, you begin to change it. This always happens to me. People always do this to me. I can't believe this happened. How come people reject me? I went to the party and no one talked to me. Well, that's often either a story or a fact. And it's for you to determine which one is which and then begin to let go of the feelings of rejection and abandonment that you're seeking to create to fulfill your feelings. That is a challenging pill to swallow for many people because they don't really want to be honest because they don't really want to let go. For those of you who are committed to letting go and you're always letting go, and if you're always letting go has become a skill. In that skill set of letting go, you will no longer be the mind-body connection to the events that shape the feelings. You will stop avoiding the eventual outcome of success and start to move into the skill set and the action and the repetition and experience required to master the emotions that will allow you to master the skills. I don't know why I didn't. Now, I have coached thousands of network marketers. I've coached many sales professionals from many walks of life, internet marketers, real estate professionals, a multitude, and I'll use the word plethora, and a plethora of people who have chosen selling for a profession. Now, here's generalities. Most of the selling profession avoid selling because of the perceived pain of rejection. If you're rejected, traumatized, abandoned, neglected, grew up in alcoholic, dysfunctional homes, there's a high probability you were traumatized, abandoned, rejected, any multitude of situations and emotions that will create anxiety. So if your body's holding on to events from the past in fight or flight, and the brain is taking a picture of these events and giving it meaning, and if it means rejection, then there's a high probability you'll have challenges going over there and engaging the prospects. The prospects are not your enemy. The prospects have your money. But the prospects are your enemy if you perceive them to be painful because what you're going to do is avoid them. So the prospect is over here. You have the benefit, the feature. You have the product, the service, and you are selling the dream, but it's going to be your responsibility to let go and learn how to have a relaxed conversation with people in a business forum that's conducive to the outcome. And that relaxed forum is a series of questions about the outcome. I was coaching a woman today who said, When I hired you, you asked me this question. And this woman hired me back in 2017, an event where I was a keynote speaker, an event for about 350 people. I spoke right before lunch. Woman walks up to my sales table. She's having a conversation with me. I use her first name, Susan. Are you considering hiring me to be your coach? That was a trial close question. That was early in the conversation. And I'm not avoiding asking her. I'm not feeling guilty. I'm not worried if I'm going to offend her. I'm not overwhelmed. I'm not afraid I'm going to lose her. I'm not in this space. So this is what happens to many people. They get into a future tense space worrying about an outcome that hasn't happened because they grew up in worry in a household that really had to worry because they're upstairs on the second floor. And before they get downstairs to the kitchen table, they're already worried because they're in unpredictability. And then when you start to do this, you become neurochemically addicted to a set of feelings, and that worry becomes chronic worrying. And if you held on to chronic worrying about how you're going to be perceived, how you're going to be looked at, how you're going to be judged, I don't want to be rejected, don't want to be abandoned, don't want to make a mistake, don't want to get in trouble, this becomes the way that the reptilian brain continues to communicate. So your brain will see this person over here and they'll go, lion, tiger, jungle, no freaking way, dude. I'm going to sit right here. I'm going to educate myself on medication. I'm going to medicate, educate, and stay right here. And I'm going to get ready to get ready. And then I'm going to seduce myself into feeling like I am busy. Well, busy isn't productive. If you're a real estate agent, you require listings and you require showings. If you're a network marketer, you require prospects. You require communication with people to qualify for your time. If you're an internet marketer, you require people going into that sales funnel so that the law of averages become in your favor. And then you're required to learn how to write content, create leads, how to qualify the leads, how to communicate with them. Fortunately for you, selling is the highest paid profession in the world, does not require a lot of skills, and is a skill that anyone can master. And when you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shape the feelings, just like Kimberly says, not attached. When you're not attached, chapter 5, codependent no more, you can communicate with practically anyone. And even if they're rude to you, you're not being rejected. You can let someone go easily and effortlessly, and seldom will people be rude to you when you bring great energy to the table. And it's that detachment that allows you to go, thank you for your day. Have a great afternoon. And when you're not worried about getting in trouble, making a mistake, saying the wrong thing, you're able to detach easily and effortlessly. Now, when it comes to other areas of avoidance and procrastination, be clear on what you avoid. If you live in a lot of clutter and overwhelmed state, if you're unorganized, undisciplined, these are areas that you can definitely improve on now. And if you have, I don't know where to start. Well, you would start with a common denominator, an area that you use the most: bathroom, closet, desk, kitchen. I mean, those are areas that you start. I mean, then you start one day at a time. You're not going to clean up all your clutter overnight. It would be in a process. But it means that you don't tackle it. You move into it and you start. It's the art of the start, and you stay in it until you win it. And that's the process that you begin to master one day at a time, and you start to clean up your life. And you start to do this in what are called dedicated blocks of time. It means you devote dedicated energy and dedicated time to certain aspects, and you do the same routine over and over. Now, if you're someone who avoids routine, you're avoiding success. And success requires routines. It means dedicated blocks to prospect, create leads, team build, and devote certain areas of time to certain areas and aspects of your business and your life. If you don't have a set schedule to go to the gym, you just go whenever you want. Well, you're probably not going to go very often. And if you live this life that's unstructured and undisciplined, then you'll just keep recreating the same situation over and over to fulfill the same set of feelings. Now, I coach clients, and I've coached clients, certain clients, for years, and I've watched some of them really breakthrough. And the breakthrough factor is a separation of feelings and events, having a better understanding of why you do what you do, and then moving into the let go state. So letting go allows you to not get attached. Letting go allows you to not personalize situations. Letting go allows you to separate your feelings from events. Letting go allows you to not be a mind-body connection to an event and allows you to be in a place called consciousness, understand, aware, and know. And in this state of higher being, you're able to adapt and adjust a lot more easier. You're flexible and you respond to the stimulus rather than react to it. But if you're reacting to it, this is what takes you out of the game. This is what takes you into fight or flight. This is what keeps you avoiding. When you're in fight or flight, your brain is going to send a signal. It goes, oh, danger, lion, tiger. It's a reptilian brain. When you're relaxed and in your body and in consciousness and you're in a let-go state, you're able to easily and effortlessly let situations go because you're not attached. And attachment has more than one meaning, as does detach. Being detached doesn't mean you don't care. It means that you're not attached to an outcome. You're not making it about you, and you're not personalized it. So if someone doesn't hire you, buy from you, someone doesn't purchase your product, benefit, and feature, you don't get the job, you don't get the position, you don't rank advance, whatever it is, you don't personalize it, because at midnight tonight, your bank of time expires and you're granted a complete new bank of time with 86,400 seconds. And that means you get to start over. And in starting over, you get to move into a whole different level of energy, a time called a day. And as you start to operate one day at a time and start to have dedicated blocks of time, you become more emotionally disciplined. When you become emotionally disciplined, it means you don't tell yourself stories. You don't make things up. When you become emotionally disciplined, you're letting go of the events that shaped your anxieties. And then you move out of this state of wonderment. I don't understand. I don't know what to do. If someone was just tell me, when you move out of that state, then you move into consciousness. And consciousness is understand. I know. I'm aware. I absolutely receive and get it. Now, if you're watching this content today and you've not had the opportunity to coach with me, I offer free 20-minute coaching sessions, and you go directly into my inbox right up there, and you can leave your number, and I will return your message today. So that's if I operate on a sense of urgency. I don't procrastinate. I don't avoid. I do everything I can now. And as you start to operate in that relaxed sense of urgency, you will start to be accomplishment conscious. It means you start to accomplish tasks, duties, details, and you start to become productive. Results happen, and you become results conscious rather than poverty conscious. And instead of being commitment phobic, you become commitment conscious. And these commitments lead to attracting people to reality who are of quality, like mind, who are in alignment with you. And as you begin to do that, then you're no longer the mind-body connection to anxiety, fear, and doubt. Jeffrey Combs, president and founder, Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. I will be hosting another Facebook Live at midnight Eastern Standard Time tonight. You have an outstanding afternoon on day number one, October 2019. Have a great evening, everyone.